What's going on, people? This is Lecrae.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kel Mitchell.
Picky one is that would be me.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev, on stage.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug E. Fresh.
What up, what up? It's DJ Emmy for that Breakfast Club.
What's up, everybody? It's Mr. Talkbox.
Hello there. This is Kim Burrell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cardi Cortez.
Well, hello there. I am Ja'Kalen Carr.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with the Mess.
Hey, everyone. This is Faith Jesse.
My name is Kid from Kid and Play.
Peace to the planet. Charlemagne the God here.
What's up, y'all? Las Vegas. It's Said Entertainer. I want you to download and tune into the greatest gospel station in the Las Vegas area.
It's the number one gospel station.
Number one gospel station.
Number one gospel radio.
Check it out. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go download Anointed Radio app.
From either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
For 24/7 gospel.
Make sure to check out their website at anointedradionetwork.com.
Music for the soul, music for your spirit, music to lift your heart.
That soul food for your body, that energy for your spirit.
Gospel in the morning, gospel for lunch, gospel at dinner, and then you go to sleep. You know what? Guess what? You're dreaming about some gospel.
Sometimes these are the songs that really uplift us and get us through some of the tough times.
Salute Pastor J. Calhoun and Anointed Radio.
Know your boy wouldn't steer you wrong. Go listen right now. You feel me?
Check them out without no doubt, because gospel is what it's all about.
Hey, man, that was abrupt. Hey, how y'all doing? We're going to start off in normal fashion. And normal fashion is with a scripture and a prayer. And the scripture we're coming out today is Psalms 119 and 73, where it says, "Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands." That was a powerful prayer. In that moment, we have to ask God for understanding. God made us. God has put us in these predicaments and these situations for a reason, for the betterment of the kingdom. Sometimes when we're lost and we're trying to figure out our way or things don't seem as clear, pray for understanding, because understanding will be able to help you in your walk with God, in your gift, in your assignment that God has put to you. Ask for understanding. Why in this moment am I going through this? Why, God, do I need to go over there, not over here? And God will give it to you. If you speak to God, God will speak back. You just have to ask him and he will provide you with the answers. Amen. Amen. Dear Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything that you're doing. We thank you for all the things that you are in the midst of working on, that everything that you have your hands on, God. We just thank you for you being the Alpha and the Omega, the God that always provides, the God that always protects, the God that always is on our side, that never left us nor forsake us. God, I ask you to be able to let us touch the people today, God, with something. Something that could be said so that somebody could walk away and say, you know what? I want to know about this God that they were talking about. God, let us be able to reach the unreachable, teach the unteachable, and even touch somebody with the hardest heart to say, what can I do to be saved? God, I ask you to enlarge the territory of Anointed Radio, God. Enlarge our reach, God. Enlarge our influence, God. Enlarge everything about the brand of Anointed Radio to be able to get to new people, new airwaves, and let us be a great representation. So when they see us, they don't see us, they see you, God. God, we just ask you to be able to bless everybody on the sound of my voice. If they're going through mental issues, if they're going through physical issues, if they're going through things right now that's stirring up in their spirit, God, I ask you to be able to release an understanding spirit, a soothing spirit, to be able to comfort them in this moment. God, I ask you to just be able to touch them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, to bring peace, to bring a calm, to be able to really help them in their situation. Break every chain that the enemy has tried to put on them, God, and to be able to break away from anything that is stopping them from glorifying you. So God, I just thank you. I glorify you. I give you all the glory and all the praise. And I say that all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 It's Pastor Jay. And like always, I got something to say. What I got to say is I'm back. I was gone last week, but I'm back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Yeah, I'm back. You know where you can follow me. You can follow me at Anointed Jaylon on all social media platforms, on Instagram. You probably never will catch me in the clubhouse streets because I'm really not in the clubhouse streets. You know how Simi would say, being in the club of the house. You probably won't catch me there. If I'm there, it's because I clicked on a notification of an invite on accident and I'm in the room and then I was out the room. I put the church finger up and I was out. But I want you to know you can follow me on all social media platforms. And if you want to get any of my music, like Can I Get a Little Grace, you can go to all the digital streaming music platforms and go get my music at Pastor Jaylon Calhoun on all streaming platforms. You get Renew My Praise, Jesus, You Make Me Happy, Slip Away, I have so many. And my latest, obviously, Can I Get a Little Grace? Make sure you guys go and check that out. But with that, we're going to go ahead and bring up my co-hosts. We have some co-hosts in the building, y'all. We got the lovely Prophetess Tish. And we have Miss Keisha LaToy Glass. I think I said that wrong, but I'm going to get it because she's one of the new, and she didn't get it like a radio name. She just gave the whole full government name, but that's her brand. But because I was gonna call her Mrs. Glass, but that come from that book.
That's okay.
Miss Glass comes from that book. We're Unbreakable. I think I read that in the library back in the day. But let me stop. I'm happy to be back. You know, I'm happy to be back.
I'm happy to you back. I am too. No, I am.
Don't do that no more. Don't. You not. You don't have permission to
I get one day of vacation. There in this company, I get 2 days of PTO, I believe.
Uh-uh.
I'm just saying. But One thing I want to say, though, before you guys start, and I give a recap. I went to the Soulful Celebration. It was a beautiful event. I met Earth, Wind, and Fire. Mary was there and all that good jazz. But as one thing that I realized, and this is just for me, it's feedback for our community. We got to keep taking care of our community. You know, sometimes in these events, our platforms get overlooked by the bigger platforms. And, you know, we have to get to a point where we still give retrospect. You know, if I'm going to an event, I'm really there for the gospel artist, because the gospel artist is who I spin on the radio station. But a lot of times I end up with artists and I feel so bad. I'm saying this publicly. I feel so bad. I could talk to a secular artist and they're coming and they're interviewing while the gospel artist is being rushed or skipping the whole crew of Christian artists and radio stations that are trying to do interviews. And we got to do better than that, because we all we got. Mm-hmm. We all we got. I keep saying that. We all we got. And it's cool to be on Essence. It's cool to be on A Giddy Picture and all that. But don't forget the people who spin you.
Yeah.
Don't forget the people who support you and talk about you constantly, because you don't hear about the gospel side on secular radio stations. They just talking to you right there because they got a bigger platform than they there. But we got to remember, as a church community, we got to support each other and we got to help each other. And that's the best way and the nicest way I could say it, because I've been trying to figure out how to say it. And that's the nicest.
You did good, Jay. You did good.
I was very analytical with that one. But we got to do better. We got to do better. Amen. And you can't get too big, like my grandmama would say, don't get too big for your britches. Mm-hmm. Because you skip over somebody today, that person might be the person you need tomorrow. Never burn bridges, because
that's right.
You got to treat everybody the same. Mm-hmm. The same respect in everything. But that's all. That's my rant, my radio rant. I have a platform and I could do it. Amen. So right. If y'all want to invite me, make sure I can interview people. Amen. So go ahead, co-host. Go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you.
I am Prophetess Tish. You can find me on all social media platforms under Fervently Creations. You can also find me at www.ferventlycreations.com. Check out the events that I have at www.ferventlyevents.com. But unlike Jay, let me tell you, when she say if he accidentally click on somebody's notification clubhouse, it's mine. That's whose notifications he will accidentally click on. So he was trying to be funny. Anyway, you can find me every Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern time in them clubhouse streets as we go forth and we just go in and just expound on the word of God. And you are always welcome to come in. Check out my social media platforms, whether you go under Tish Year or you're looking at Fervently Creations and you check that on website, you will always see what topics we're studying and the scriptures. So you can always come in prepared, ready to partake in the word and let us know what you got from it as well. Also, can I mention it, Jay? I'm going to mention it. Okay. Let me do it. June 21st, June 23rd, we will be in Huntsville, Alabama for the Renewed Mind in Christ Conference. That is a conference where we're doing marketplace ministry. We're doing mass deliverance. We're doing mental health awareness and we're doing mindset shifts. You are welcome to come in. So make sure you go to the website, www.ferventlyevents.com. This is also where our very own the CEO of Anointed Radio, he is actually being awarded. He's also being honored. Let me put it that way, not award. He's being honored. We will honor him on this night for what he is doing in media. I would say we went to an award show, the Spin Award show, and people were there and they had all their networks and stuff. Pastor Jay was the youngest one in there with his own network. And so that's just something that is really needed, really needs to be commended, rewarded, as well. So we are honored to be able to honor him as one of our honorees as well this year. So awesome. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Awesome.
I'm very modest when it comes down to that because I usually like honoring other people. I won't really be knowing how to take it. I haven't been honored. So I'm gonna sit down and receive it this time. Amen. Because usually I'll be like, no, it's about you, Prophetess Tish, but I'm gonna receive it in Jesus' name because
you've done plenty red carpets, but now you get chance to actually, he's also part of our conference team, but he actually get chance to show you exactly the vision that God is giving him for red carpets and actually doing it in a way to where people come through and don't get devalued. What he was saying too early, I promise you, Jay, you got to excuse me. But Jay was talking about like how some people come through and they would devalue you. And Jay has a heart to make sure that does not happen. So we want you to be part of our red carpet experience. Pastor Jay, again, he is over that area and I am very excited to see exactly what God is going to do with him in that and how he's going to move in it because he's been in many of them. He's seen it. He's seen what's wrong with it and he's seen what's right with it. So now he has that opportunity to fix it and correct it. And so we're very pleased to have him as that part of our team.
Amen. Miss Glass.
I'm so excited about that. I can't wait to come in Alabama. But anyway, I am Keisha Latoya Glass. You can follow me on all social media platforms at Keisha Latoya Glass. And you can also follow me on my website at www.keishalatoy.net.
You have on a different pair of glasses every, like how many pair of glasses do you have?
I have so many. I have my own collection. So that mic could tell you basically how many I have. But I just love glasses.
That's fancy.
Thank you.
You got one for every day of the week. I'm trying to be like that with watches though. I'm gonna get a watch for every day of the week.
Oh, you like my husband. He loves watches. Oh my God, yes. So every color. So
I'm gonna get one in my own collection. It'll be the Calhoun collection.
Come on.
Once I can't think of a gift, I know go real quick to Invicta and get my husband a watch. And like,
that's
get
where that's problem where my solved. Husband. Mm-hmm. He has a whole collection. He's getting
my goal in Jesus' name is to get a Rolex.
Invicta is it, prophetess. So yes.
I'm gonna tell you, I always said that one day I'm gonna splurge and get me a Rolex. Because I remember when I was a little poor boy in Richmond, California, looking at somebody Rolex, like, I'm going to get one day. And I ain't never stopped because I'm going to still go get one. Amen. So I just don't know if I want to make that ticket price because, you know, I got other bills. You know, Lord have mercy. But we're going to go ahead and bring up our guest. I love watching his lives. His lives, he'd be jamming. He'd give you a whole concert on his lives. And he puts his all in singing. I love his singing style. He's a very, very great down to earth person. We've talked to him a little bit backstage and man, I enjoyed every part of it. And I'm so happy to have him finally on to the show, but y'all know him from Sunday's Best and songs that he got a new song out, but I'm gonna let him talk about it when he comes up. Mr. Ashford Sanders, y'all, come on, everybody. What's welcome on to the stage. Hold on, I don't have a clap machine. When I had a DJ, I had to fire my DJ, but when he had a clap machine, people came on. But now we're gonna use our real hands because God gave it, because you could do it in Jesus' name.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing?
Doing good. Wait, you know what?
Yes,
you know,
I've been waiting for this interview for months. I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness, I was excited to know that. Oh my God, yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm excited to be here. God is simply amazing, and I'm just still grateful to be alive. I'm here.
Yeah.
Amen. So, where can everybody find you? What's your social media? What's your website? What's all that good? All those good links.
Everything is at Ashford Sanders. I'm just a little country boy from Mississippi. At Ashford Sanders on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, at Ashford Sanders. I was named after Ashford and Simpson.
Ah.
Yeah, that's who I was named after. My Auntie Irma named me. And ironically, I said they were sowing a seed and didn't even know it because I do this.
You had an Auntie Irma too, huh?
Yeah, I got an Auntie Irma. She ain't with us no more, but I was her soldier boy. She used to call me soldier boy.
Okay.
Look, once you said you came from Mississippi, but immediately the sun started going in my head. Come from a poor family.
I come from a poor family. We didn't have
right.
My, yeah. Oh, but Lord, been good
to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite group. The Kansas.
I love them. I grew up off of that. Yeah. Jay, that's that quartet stuff. Jay looking like
C. Tish.
There you go.
Oh, Tish played that all the way from Alabama to Georgia, all the way. And Tish is the type of person that will put a song on repeat. She'll make you not like your own song. I said, I don't like him no more.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You don't want to. If I have a song in my spirit, you don't want to be around me. That's what I'm saying. Hey, Millions was on repeat for a whole day. Them nurses was coming in. She's still listening to the same song. Yep.
Wow. Yep. Well, that Millions carry a different kind of anointing on it. And you know, the other day outside of my restaurant, you know, I was singing outside the restaurant because we just opened, so we're trying to market and get people knowing we're in the area. And man, the Holy Ghost showed up because Millions just carry something. It carries a certain kind of spirit on it. And man, people start prophesying and speaking in tongue. And I was like, okay, then I see you. I see you, God.
So before we go deep into your interview, let me pay some bills real quick. Anybody that haven't shared, like, subscribe, make sure you share, like, subscribe. All my Instagram people, shout out to y'all. You know, we wasn't on last week. That was because I wasn't here. But we're on now. So share, like, and subscribe. And all my Twitch people, make sure that you stay tuned, tag a little bit. Instagram, push that bell and subscribe. And all my Facebook people, tag your mama and them. I mean, like, your mama and them. Tag all of them. And all them Facebook groups you part of, share it. Yep, that's all I need you to do. And share it as a story. And that's all I need you to do right now. And show some likes and hearts, and because we want to know that you're here, we want to talk with you. Second thing I want y'all to do is make sure that you download the Anointed Radio app, all day 24-hour gospel, where you can listen to gospel music to touch your soul. And we Las Vegas had the Super Bowl, but But we want to still support our local teams, UNLV, who just touched the Mountain Conference, the Las Vegas Lights, the Las Vegas Knights, the Las Vegas WNBA team, back-to-back champion, the Aces, and the Las Vegas Raiders, which you know didn't go to the Super Bowl or the playoffs in our own stadium. But we're going to make it up one day. And one day, I don't know when that day going to be, but one day we're going to finally get there. So make sure that you guys go and support your local Las Vegas sports. With that, back to the show. So we're going to go ahead and go and we're going to do an icebreaker question. And the icebreaker question is this. If you could relive one childhood memory, what childhood memory would you relive?
I go. Are they still thinking? Yep. All right. So one time we had a thing to where we went outside, didn't see nothing. We come back in the house and there's these two big barrels of toys. It was around Christmas time. Mind you, we stayed in an apartment at this time. It was no chimney, so we don't know how Santa, we think Santa didn't came in through the back door, like, you know, back door Santa. I don't know what it was, but we, like, but that was one of those moments. I shouldn't say a back door Santa, but anyway.
I'm hashtagging that, back door Santa. That's different right there.
It's a blues song. So with that, I like that was that's like one of those childhood memories that was just because as a child I didn't understand exactly how, and it wasn't until we was adults that my mom had actually told us what happened of how, you know, once she got us out the front door, somebody had came in and they had put those barrels inside the, so they came through the back door of the apartment. But it was just, but coming back in the house and seeing that. So that was amazing. So it was one of those memorable childhood moments for me that I would probably relive as a child. But as an adult now, I understand that that wasn't Santa and mama had got that. My mama did that. My mama, it was by the grace of God, my mama was able to get us some toys.
Amen. ain't nothing wrong with that. Nope. Go on, go next.
I go next. Let me see. I think I had a boy cousin that we all played together with, and he's no longer here, but we used to go outside now from school. We would walk to my grandmother's house. She's like a block away, and we'll go there. And we'll do our homework. And after homework, we couldn't wait to get done with our homework so we can go outside and catch lightning bugs. They don't have lightning bugs no more.
You're not in the South, are you? I don't see them no more either.
I don't see them no more. And we used to catch lightning bugs. I know.
I've never seen one before in my life.
What? Are you serious?
What?
Kidding me?
I'm a California kid. Those
they don't have them in California? Or didn't have them? Okay, anyway. But yes, that's I loved those days of us going outside to catch lightning bugs. And we would keep them in the jars, and of course they died within seconds. But we just loved, we would race.
You were out there mass murdering the population of fireflies.
We would catch them. No way. We would catch them to see how many we can catch and who will win. So, yeah.
Like that you catch them in your hand and then you have all the little stuff in your hand out the your hands be stinking and stuff. But hey, yeah. Like catching lightning bugs was the thing.
That was
like,
it.
Hey, in the South, we know how to make fun out of little bitty things. Like, I mean, because we got kicked outside and was told to either stay in or out. And so you had to find things to do while you were stuck outside because they weren't about to let you back in the house for running in and out. And they weren't trying to cool off the whole neighborhood and all that stuff. So yeah, so we had to entertain ourselves in the South.
Mississippi, we had thousands. And so that was our first earrings. We take them off, put them on your ear, and you'd be glowing like you're wearing earrings. You know, that's what everybody was doing, you know.
Now that's a good one. I never heard of that.
Really? Really, no. they'll take the little light off, put it on their ear, and they walk it around, and they ear going, and about 30 minutes it gone, the light gone down
now. Now that's funny.
Yep, but that's
crazy.
That was good time. So you ain't grow up in the South?
No, I grew up in California.
Oh, you don't know what real living is then.
See, wait till it gets to my turn. Wait till it gets to my turn. I'll let you go first.
So you don't know nothing about chasing hogs or picking cotton, none of that?
No, I's never did that before, sir.
Oh, I'm just saying.
I will tell him I have put him on some Southern cooking before, but you know, so he has had some Southern cooking before.
Has he had chitlins?
Once I made chitlins, he wasn't there. I don't think he's ever ate chitlins.
We got to get him some chitlins. We can meet some chitlins that's so good it'll make him rededicate his life to the Lord. Yes, Doc. Put you some bell peppers and onion up over in there,
man. Oh my God.
I don't know.
Potatoes and stuff and some hog mouth. We got to put some hog mouth over
there. You get saved all over again. Yeah. Mm. I ain't lying. But I think
one of my speaking in tongues.
Right. One of my childhood memories, I think, like I said, I grew up watching the Kenton Spirituals, my favorite group. I remember one year, they used to do this thing on the square. We got the Canton Square. You know, Canton, Mississippi is where they filmed the movie A Time to Kill. Have y'all ever seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, killed
them. Yes, they deserve to die.
Turn to die.
Oh, my God.
Right.
We can't finish it, but yes, I got you. Yes, they deserve to die. I hope. Yeah, okay.
Right. So where they filmed that movie at, where he was saying all that around that square, you see the big courthouse. Mm-hmm. They used to put a stage on the street right there, and it was like 20,000, 25,000 people out there, you know, every year on the 4th of July. And I remember I was 10 years old and I went to the lead singer, Harvey Watkins, and I was like, can I? They have a song that says, singing in the heavenly choir.
Singing in.
Yeah.
The heavenly choir.
And so I wanted to sing the daddy part on that song. So I went to him and I was like, you know, can I sing daddy part on that song? Then he said something to me, I still ain't never understood what he meant. He said, you ain't suffered long enough to sing with me. But I think.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what he said back then. But, you know, I think, you know, I don't know what he meant.
He grieved his dad's death hard.
Yeah. Yes. But I think, you know what? Me and him just talked last night. I need to ask him, what did you mean by that? Yeah, I sure like, you know, but no, nevertheless. Childhood memory that I think I wish I can go back and get it and fight for it a little harder, because that was my desire. I mean, I've sang with the Kenton Spirituals several times since then, but that was like my first initial time. You know, when you're a fan of somebody and you that close and you talking to them, it's like, you know, and I've just been a fan a long time, still a fan. That's the only concert I pay to go to. But nevertheless, that's my childhood memory.
I seen them one time in concert with Lee Williams. I was under 18 still, but seeing them in concert one time with Lee Williams. And what got me about Lee Williams standing at one spot. And pat that one leg.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Right.
And be right. Singing from his soul. Right. I mean, just like, hey. Wow. How can he just stand like that in one spot?
In one spot.
Sing?
Right.
Man.
And I tell people all the time, you know,
he's well
missed. Unfortunately, quartet is, you know, overlooked and downlooked on. But I tell people all the time, if you know, if I'm having a bad day and I'm in my feelings and things just not going right, Kirk Franklin's smile just don't work for me. You know, Mirror got a song said, go get it. It don't work. But if I can put on a good song like Lee Williams, I can't give up.
Better say that.
I can't give up now. See, I come too far. And it just, it ministers in a different way. And I tell people all the time, we have to kill the narrative that, you know, quartet music is not. Because if I took a song, a lot of people, I don't know what it is, but I use the scenario. If I say, you know, if I took a song and I said, can't give up, and I said, I can't give up, can't give in. If I gave it more of a contemporary feel, it's accepted. But as soon as I said, I can't give up, I can't give, then it's like, you know, it's like, you know, but it's saying the same word. So what is it that
why
we don't like?
Is it that though? Tell well,
you gotta ask Jay. Oh, Jay is not
in the questions yet, are we?
Oh, so Jay wanted them ones, huh?
He wanted the ones.
He gonna do it. He gonna to do it.
Yes,
he
sir.
Gonna do it. He gonna to do it. Now, Doc, I don't know, Doc. For me.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was raised on.
Man, I'm telling you, Lee Williams.
I'm not fully delivered yet, because when it comes down to that, I can't.
But let me tell you this. Have you ever quartet music? This is my opinion, but it's almost factual. Is the only music that you really can't follow. What I mean by that is, it's going to be really, really difficult for, let's just use Kim Burrell, to follow Daryl Pettis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a Daryl Pettis or Harvey Watkins come out there and say, I'm depending on you, pull the family through, it's mighty hard to follow.
He might be taking my whole lashes off.
I'm telling you. I'll try versus, to keep it cool too. Okay.
If your contemporary artist came out Ooh. First, a quartet mm-hmm. artist can come out there and say, press my way through. I press my way through. I can't give up now. And tear the house up with just a hymn. Mm-hmm. You know, and the other thing is, I tell people all the time, don't be so quick to down talk quartet or traditional, because everybody still borrow from it. What is a phrase break? Mm-hmm. It's traditional.
Yeah.
You know, we still, or look at the neighbor, it's the neighbor. All church. All quartet is church. And quartet is just the emotional music that's going to put you in your feelings every time. But nevertheless, it's just my opinion, because I love it. And I think there's a time and place for all music, though. You know,
see, when I think of quartet, and maybe it's because when I was a kid, when I think of quartet, I think of Fighting Temptations with Eddie Levert and all them, when it was like going down when they did that part. Like, I think of that. But I would say my iceberg question, because I didn't get to say mine, to answer your question, sir, my childhood memory I would relive, which I hated every moment, but I miss her to death. And I would ride this bus again. It's going to Greyhound from Oakland, California, back to my grandma's hometown of Houston, Fourth Ward, every summer. Mm. I would go back on that bus with my grandmother and ride that 2.5-day bus with my dead Game Boy and looking out the window and really just sit there and enjoy the time. Especially because once we got there, Lord have mercy, your eyelashes. and no, I'm going to get some good food and run away from wolf spiders all throughout Texas. But them eyelashes, just take them off. Let it be delivered. Hallelujah, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
It's his fault. It's Astor's fault. Like, he started bringing... And once he's dead, I'm dependent on you.
Oh, that song right there. I know.
So my my uncle was murdered for my eyes once I was 15 years old. Mm. And I remember one night hearing my mom cry in the room. And though I was the one that was there, I still understood she had just lost a brother. So I went and I tried to comfort her as much as I could. I went back in the room, and back then it was cassette tapes. And I had a cassette tape that had Depended on You. And I would play it, and after that song went on, back then, Jay, I would rewind it, and I would listen to I'm Dependent on You. So once he said that, the lashes had to come off, because it was just like, that was a song for me. I'm depending on you to pull the family through, because at 15 years old, I'm trying to figure out how do I comfort someone that lost her brother, especially when she feel like, you know, you're the reason behind it, because he was taken up for me in a situation. And so that was, I will say, that is probably once I really fell in love with Quartet.
Right.
Was off of Canon Spirituals, I'm Dependent on You.
Yeah.
And so, and actually, when somebody say, when she said you ain't suffered enough, you understand the pain behind that.
Right.
And you could see it visually of someone on their deathbed of them saying, hey, at this point, I'm in my dying hour.
Yeah.
Right.
And I need you to take care of your mom, your sister, your brother, whoever. Mm-hmm. And that was heavy at 15 years old.
Yeah.
So them lashes had to come off then, because I didn't know what was about to come out for then. And I'd rather pull them off than y'all see them fall off. And so y'all know, but they can't come back on right now without a mirror. I can't.
Jay,
y'all gonna have to see this big country forehead and my lashes. So it is what it is.
Still beautiful, Tish.
Hey, just in case you don't know now, she's saying that because the first verse of the song said, take care of your mama, like I always done. Mm. And then the second verse said, in my dying hour, I don't want none of y'all to cry. Mm. It's one of them songs. It'll take you in now. I ain't lying.
Yeah.
In a couple times.
Did we take Jay out with that one?
Uh-oh.
No, Jay just wish we were hushed about this quartet.
Well, I don't know, because that Jay just had back-to-back deaths in family.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Well, he need to go and listen to I'm Dependent on You. It'll show pull.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah. Nothing like that.
We didn't know if you did a church thing and had to get yourself together real quick.
No, the enemy is busy because he just made my whole camera just made me disappear like the genie, just looked like that. So yeah. I had to redo my settings. But yeah, I'm gonna listen to that song, and you know, I'll give it a new aspect, because you know, I
please do,
because you know, I had that same feeling about Christian hip hop until I really heard some real good Christian hip hop, and
right.
I opened my mind onto it, because you know, a lot of people look at that as I guess you could say in the same light as well, because they feel like, oh, it's not, some people say it's corny, which I don't think it's corny. I just think that a lot of people just don't understand the message, whatever.
Right.
One thing I want to say to you, getting into the formalities, you know, introducing you to some and reintroducing you to others. Where is your hometown and where do you reside now?
I'm originally from Canton, Mississippi. Now I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I've been in Atlanta since 2016. I came here to be a worship leader for a church that totally went under. And from there, God blessed me then to get into the restaurant industry.
Amen. Okay. Keith Lee come visit you?
Not yet, but I sure hit him up.
Oh, amen.
Yep, so y'all send this to Keith Lee. Tell him, come on, we got bean, green, tomato, ham, yeah. We got it all.
So, look, I'm just a hop in the skip, so I might have to come that way.
Come on, it ain't healthy, but it's good. Yeah. It's not healthy, but it's sure good.
I done went vegan, so I'm going to have to get your beans and your greens if they ain't got meat in it.
You done went vegan?
Yeah. There's his face.
I just feel bad for people like that. You know, I don't understand. And I get it. Listen, this is no lie. I was 380 pounds myself.
Oh gosh!
But I seen a woman the other day.
You said that like that was a disease. Like,
but my problem with this: what's the reason for going vegan? If you, this lady, y'all, I ain't click killer. I ain't lying. She was at least 389 pounds. She told me she had been vegan for 10 years.
She's still gluttony, though.
I
you know what?
I see a lot of lies around here.
You know what? Someone said something about that the other day. She's still probably a carbitarian. You know, She's a carbitarian. Sometimes when you're a vegan, you're a carbitarian, and you just you binge on carbs, and you be like, well, you know, I'm diabetical. I can't have that many carbs.
If I'm gonna give up meat, you better believe I'm gonna lose some weight. If I'm still gonna be 389, hey, don't give me that poke chop, doc. I ain't lying this time. Give me that poke chop.
So, okay. let's start with the serious questions. So okay. I have to ask you this question. What was your first introduction into music and making you have the passion for music?
Here we go again.
Can't you spiritual?
Y'all grow up. Listen, no, it was 1993. I was 6 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I went to my Auntie Nene house. And as soon as I walk in, all I heard was live in Memphis, the Canton Spiritual. And that's what it was.
That's the best one.
It had my attention. But what really got me was one of the songs he started talking about an old man that wanted to sing in the choir, and they wouldn't let him sing in the choir. That's the song. They wouldn't let him sing, and the choir director told him, said, you got a tremble in your voice, and you too old to sing.
Sing in my choir.
Yeah. And then so when they went to church the next Sunday, the old man wasn't there. They went to church the next Sunday, the old man still wasn't there. Then they kept start asking questions. Nobody seen the old man. Then finally one day.
You got to say it right. You got to say it right. They went to the church that next, knew the next the way they did it.
The next Sunday. And they noticed that the old man still wasn't sitting in his corner. I'm not beginning to ask questions. Long story short, one day, a voice came down from heaven and said, well, I found me a choir that'll let me sing. You know, I'm a heavenly choir. And I was sitting there just crying my eyes out as a little six-year-old boy. I felt so bad for that old man. Then later on, I found out that was a lie. It was just, that wasn't even the truth. But that was my initial introduction to gospel, because at that point, I still don't know Jesus.
Right.
I just was emotionally driven, and I knew that I liked this form of music, because before then, my family was training me how to sing stuff like I miss you, I'm talking to you, baby. Aaron Hall, we used to talk and laugh all night, girl. You know, I was singing that at 6 years old, five, 6 years old. But when I heard that,
changed your life.
That was my introduction to quartet. I had never heard of a Kirk Franklin, of a nobody but the Kentons. And I grew up from then being, and see, for me, it was more than just the music. It was the sign language on stage. It was the body language. It was the discipline and control. I was paying attention to everything. And so I think, you know, I was telling Harvey the other night that I appreciated him and Dwayne, the guitar player, because they taught me discipline on stage. Even now, you know, when musicians play for me one time, they be like, bro, can I play for you permanently? You know, because me, I'm so disciplined, and I'm a musician myself. I play piano, but I tell them everything matters on stage. What the piano player doing and the guitar player doing when I'm singing matters. If you sticking out, you in the way. So something ain't gonna happen. Get out the way now. Move, go on about your business. You know, what Kim said, let that mask work for you now. Let go and calm it down some for me. Just keep it simple. Keep it simple over there.
So I have to ask, man, let's go back to Sunday's best.
Watch this interview.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay. Let me bring it back. Boom. All right. Boom.
All right. So with Sunday's best, I feel like Gail right now.
A blessing and a curse.
Right. With it being a blessing and a curse, one thing that you expressed to us, I wanted you to kind of talk about it, because you know it goes dear to my, it hits home for me because my brother is going through it. But you said that you were going through kidney failure while while recording the television of Sunday's Best and performing while performing, doing your takes, being at the rehearsal, doing everything that it's requiring for you for Sunday's Best. You were doing dialysis.
Yep. Every night in my room.
How was that?
The struggle was real. I mean, the night I sang Millions Didn't Make It on that show, I was literally about to pass out before I walked out on stage.
Mm.
Yeah, I was sick on stage singing that song. A lot of people didn't know it. But, you know, back in 2010, I was sitting on my stairs. I lived in the ghetto, and my doctor called me. Now, mind you, months before then, I was vomiting every night. Nobody knew. I didn't tell nobody. And I would be throwing up. I couldn't hold my urine. I was throwing up every night. But after I throw up, I felt fine. The only thing I can eat was a dill pickle. You know, I couldn't eat regular food. I never told nobody. And I never forget, my blood pressure was running like 240 over 190. It stayed up there in the clouds. And I remember one day my mom came over to my apartment. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning. And while she was there, my doctor called, Dr. Monroe. She said, "How you feel?" I said, "I'm good." She said, "You sure?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Are you still urinating?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "You don't have chest pains, headache, nothing?" I'm like, "No, I'm fine." She said, "I need you to go to the University Medical Center right now." I said, "Okay." She said, "You sick?" And I'm like, "No, I'm fine." She said, "Ashford, you need to go to the university." So I got to Jackson, Mississippi, got to the university. When I tell you, they already had a room ready. And normally you go to the university, you're there 24 hours before somebody see you. And so when I got there, they walked me right in a room, gave me a gown. And so I put the gown on, I'm sitting there like, and about 8 doctors walk in and line up around my bed and say, "How you doing today?" I said, "I'm good. You ready for surgery?" I said, "Surgery? Yeah, we're going to start you on dialysis today." And I'm like, "No." I said, "No." And one reason I said no, because I watched my auntie do dialysis all my life. And I saw how miserable and how she deteriorated. And I was like, "No." And that doctor looked at me. He said, "You want to live or you want to die?" I didn't know how to respond to that. I want to live, but I don't want to be confined to this clinic. I don't know how this going to feel. I don't know, you know. And so 4 hours later, I woke up. I had a tube in my neck, and I look and I'm connected to this machine and my blood running out my body and it's going through this. And then from there, that was the change. And I'm like, how? And I told God, I was laying there in that bed. I said, "How am I supposed to be a world-renowned gospel artist? I thought I was supposed to, you know, because I already thought I knew my destiny. How am I supposed to do this if I got to be confined to a dialysis clinic? And, you know, I'm not going to be able to travel. I'm not going to be able to go anywhere." And God blew my mind, you know, because God let me record a whole television show on dialysis when they didn't even know it. So they introduced me to peritoneal dialysis, and that's how I was able to do the show. They put a tube in my stomach, and I was able to record the show. Even though I was still fairly sick, you know, I was able to make it through it. I didn't begin to feel better until I actually went into the clinic and started doing hemodialysis, because there's a difference. You know, hemodialysis was just a much better dialysis. And now I do my own dialysis at home in my room. And it's so much better, so much easier, so much. And you do it when you want to, you know, and God has blessed me. And to God be the glory, I am actively on the kidney transplant list. They called me the other day and told me that, you know, any day now, be prepared. You should be receiving your transplant. So I'm excited about that.
That's awesome. Amen. Like, amen.
Y'all don't understand. Yeah, like, I have a little brother right now that's on kidney failure. And I almost teared. I was about to tear up because I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
I know what you felt at that moment, because I remember when my dad went through those same situations, and it was just it's bad. Like,
I'm covering my mouth so I can laugh at Teddy.
Like,
he just flipped over.
Lord have mercy. It gets me because I sit there and I know, like, you don't want to be in those situations, and you, it's so much life that you want to live, but you got to do what you got to do. I give a personal testimony. Beginning of this year sucked for me. Lost my grandfather, lost my great aunt, got hospitalized, both cars. I had a car, broke down, bought another car, broke down. Then I need to make a Cortez song about loss, because I didn't, in this 1 month, I didn't lost a lot to end up even in the hospital with a blood sugar of 572, almost to diabetic coma. And God really, really, like, and when you said that welcome, I was at the Air Force base because I'm ex-military, and they had a room ready for me when I got back, because they said they saw ketones in my urinalysis, and they were scared that my kidneys was going, and I have a family history of it. So I know what you mean, because it's just, you, man, it's something to deal with, that question. Because I know family members, two of them, that when they was told that question, they chose the opposite. Wow. And they are not here.
Wow.
But I got too much to live for. So I know when you sit there and you're like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But God.
Yeah.
I got to live.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Man, when you was, I was having reflection and kind of a little bit, I need to get myself in check.
Yeah, and what got me was a few weeks ago, even myself, you know, I'm opening this restaurant and trying to get everything together. I decided to, a church called me and asked me if I can come help them out on Sunday until their musician came back, which was in December, the end of December. And I said, yeah. So I get to that church that Sunday morning. Now, mind you, my kidneys ain't working over 12 years. And so I get to this church and I'm playing, and pastor get up to preach, and all of a sudden I start feeling like I felt like it was gas in my back left side over here. And so, you know, I'm pressing on it, you know, thinking that it's just gas. And so it started getting worse by the second, and I got up and I go in the back of the church and I lay down on the fellowship hall, and I kind of just lay on that side thinking maybe I could just lay on it and press against it. It started getting worse to the point where just to the touch of it was painful. And so I went and asked the church administrator, so you got any kind of gas X, Tums? She was like, no. So long story short, leave the church, run to Dollar General down the street while they're in service. Get in Dollar General. I said, ma'am, by this time I'm sweating, in pain, because this is not no more gas. It's pain. As a matter of fact, it had now came up to my chest. And so I asked the lady, I said, y'all got Tums or gas X or Miralax? So she gave me Tums. She gave me Miralax. I just started eating it. And next thing you know, I just start vomiting all over the store. And so, long story short, get to the emergency room. I needed morphine. I just kept begging for some morphine because I was like, I don't know what this is, but this is something worse than gas. Because me, I ain't going to no hospital if I ain't got to. When I looked at my sister and said, yeah, we got to go to the emergency room, she knew something was wrong because I'd be trying to avoid the hospital. So long story short, they take these tests. Doctor walks right in. He said, something going on with your left kidney. And I'm like, huh? He said, yeah, whatever it is, it's bad because you got blood everywhere. And so he said, you see, he put the picture up on the wall. He said, you see all this gray? I said, yeah. He said, that's blood. It's just bleeding on the inside. He said, something has ruptured, and found out I had a cyst inside the kidney and it burst.
Mm.
And that was causing all of that pain. So I've always had high hemoglobin. So even on dialysis, we have to do our labs and stuff monthly. And, you know, so my hemoglobin is always super high until sometime my doctor tell me, don't rinse back, just throw all the blood away. So when we're running that blood through that machine, when your treatment is over, hit stop, take the needles off, and throw all that blood away. Because your hemoglobin is too high. We need to throw the blood away so we can get it down. And that normally had been working. So all of a sudden now, my hemoglobin is like 8. It's normally like 19. So my doctor, they got me on dialysis at the hospital because they're trying to figure out, they decided to just kind of let this cyst heal on its own. So they just giving me pain medicine and they want to see if it'll heal on its own. And so they took me down to do dialysis, doing dialysis, and I get ready to leave dialysis. And they said, we're going to take you to surgery. I'm like, surgery? I heard this before. And they said, yeah, your doctor put in orders to have an emergency surgery. So they had to go in and cut all blood vessels to that kidney because it was still bleeding in several different places. And I was just like, you know, and I'm like, God, what was the purpose of that, you know, of going through that? But, and I'm like, this thing ain't working over 12 years. What is going on? But thank God, you know, I was able to bounce back from that. And, you know, all my numbers and things are lining back up the way they're supposed to line up. And lo and behold, like I said, I got that call that I've been, you know, approved for that kidney transplant within a matter of days to weeks. So I'm excited about the next journey. But okay. Tell your brother to be encouraged. I would love to talk with him.
Amen. I'll definitely give you his number after this. Yeah, because with him being young, I know he goes through the struggles every day. And yep. He's tired of getting cut on. So like how you said that, he. So back to music. God moved us to that. Amen. Man.
Amen.
You got a new single out.
Yep.
On time. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about, you know, what was behind that.
On Time was a song written by Jason Claiborne and Sean Keith. I don't know if y'all know Jason. Jason got, you're all I need. Jason wrote that song and several other songs. But yeah, he wrote that song and submitted it to me. And I liked the song because it, for me, I'm all about songs that got some type of power to them. And what I mean by that is you can listen. I want legendary music. Music, you know, when you go back now and you listen to songs like A Wonderful Change, that's a legendary song. It's just going to always be here, you know, or tragedies are commonplace, all kinds of diseases. It's just, so when I heard that song, I said, that's a legendary song. And it says, 10 minutes early, he's still on time. When you think he late, he's still on time. It might take a month, a year, a decade. No matter the delay, God's still on time. And so when I first heard it, I said, oh yeah, this right here gonna work, Doc. And so I got in the studio and we laid it down. And people just need to know that, you know, that regardless of where I am, what I'm going through, how soon I want it, how quick I want it, you know, I wish I could have got the kidney back when I first ended up on dialysis, but now it's not now until I'm able to be on that transplant list. God's showing up on time. So, you know, that's the concept behind the song. And I think it's a phenomenal song. And I think it's going to bless millions and millions of people.
Amen. So with that song, what was your initial, when you first heard it, did you feel like it was yours, or did you have to like really sit and really listen to it for a minute?
He sent me about 7, 8, 9 different tracks. And so out of every track I listened to, that was the one that made me taste some collard greens and candy yams, you know? So as I listened to all, that was the one that made me say, on time. God is always. And so it took me somewhat different, especially in that breakdown right there. My spirit started turning. I said, yeah, this is the one here, because when I choose songs, I look beyond the record. You know, the real magic is going to happen live. When you're live and you're able to minister this song, because now God is able to take it in so many other directions. And so, yeah, that was the thing that made me be like, all right, this is it. You know, this is the one. You know, some songs are just album fillers, you know, and some songs actually have a life-changing anointing on them, and this is one of those songs.
So I have to ask, because you keep talking about food, and I'm starving. So let's talk about your restaurant.
Okay.
What really pushed you? What's the name of your restaurant? What pushed you to get into the restaurant business? Like, what was the really... the big like motivating factor for you to be like, you know, I'm gonna open up a restaurant, and then you're in hot Atlanta.
Like, hey, took for Harvey. No, I'm playing.
No. So the restaurant is called Ashford's Kitchen, and we're called Ashford's Kitchen, the Singing Chef, because we're centered around gospel music and food, so worship and soul. So what I wanted to do, what really pushed me was, so I had an auntie named Skokie. Her name was Scortilla, but we call her Skokie. And Skokie was anointed to cook. I mean, I don't care what she cooked, you know it was going to be great. She fried the best chicken. She cleaned the chicken. I didn't eat nobody chitlins but her because she cleaned them well.
Can't eat everybody chitlins.
No, you can't eat everybody chitlins. But everything she cooked was absolutely phenomenal. And so I took an interest in it because I was watching her. And so even at like 18 years old in my ghetto apartment, I started selling burgers and chili pie. I don't know if y'all know what chili pie is, but
yes,
ground beef and beans with chili seasoning with some shredded cheese over some Frito-Lay corn.
Yes.
Delight. And yep. So I started selling stuff like that at my apartment. And then somebody snitched on us, so we got in trouble, so we had to stop. So then, So it's always been talked about to open a restaurant. Always been talked about. And so then I call Sunday Best a blessing and a curse, because the blessing in the show, I'm saying this because I'm going to go back to why I opened the restaurant. The blessing in the show was it exposed you to millions of people. It got you the proper recognition that you needed to move forward in your music career. The curse in it is you locked into that crazy contract and they won't let you breathe. And you know, for 5 years and everything you're doing, you're getting lawsuit threats. We're going to sue you if you do this and blah, 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 all of this crazy stuff to kind of kill the momentum, which it works. Because I was scared. I was a little po' boy from Mississippi. I didn't know what I can do. I remember one day Donnie McClurk, and yeah, I'm going to tell it, whatever. Donnie called me and say, where are you? I said, I'm at home in my living room. He said, and that's the problem. I was like, what are you talking about? He said, why are you not on the road? Why are you not traveling? And I said, Donnie, I can't do nothing. I had the same conversation with Yolanda Adams at the Super Bowl Gospel Fest in the dressing room. I said, I can't do nothing. Every time I try to do something, I'm being threatened. We would drive 14 hours from Mississippi to Virginia to do a show that I'm booked for. And when we get there, a promoter be there with his attorney saying stuff like, unless you sign this waiver, we can't let you perform. Why? BET be the sent a lawsuit saying, if you let this artist perform, we will sue you. Like, we will sue the church. We will sue the pastor. Oh, it was crazy. So I started losing hope in making it and being what my first passion is. And that's being a gospel recording artist, not for the fame, but just a way, because I love God. I love gospel and I want to be able to make a living from it. And so I started losing hope. So I was like, I just got to move on. I got to do something different. And so I was like, I got to open a restaurant. I got to do something to sustain, because at this rate, I can't pay my bills. I don't know what to do. Nobody will touch me. No producers. I remember Big Jim called me, may he rest in peace. He said, are you out of your contract yet? I said, nope. Daniel Moore. I don't know if y'all know Daniel plays Mariah Carey. He called me one day. He said, are you out of that contract? Nope. I can't touch you till you get out of that contract. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. You know, but nevertheless, so that's what made me go after opening the restaurant. And so this pastor moved me to Atlanta in 2016 to be his worship leader. As I said, the church failed. And he came to me. He said, well, what can I do for you? I said, I need a restaurant. And he said, find you a location. And that's how I ended up getting the first location. He paid for the restaurant. And then, unfortunately, we opened October 2019. The pandemic hit early 2020. So it failed. And so lo and behold, God blessed me at the end of last year to meet a guy named Chef Rudy. And Chef Rudy had about 3 restaurants and a food truck. And when I met him, he told me, he said, well, I got a location I'm thinking about letting go. And that's how I ended up in the location where I am now. And so it's Ashford Kitchen with a small location, but we are an all-you-can-eat buffet. And we have some phenomenal food. You can follow us on TikTok at Ashford's Kitchen to see what we got. And I wrote a quartet jingle.
Or a song about it. Want to hear it? Here it go.
It's called Ashra's Kitchen. Y'all can check it out. It's really good though.
Man,
Atlanta.
No, you got to go here so you can get.
You got to go here. Just jingle. He can't get there.
I will make a special trip to Atlanta just to come. I'm like, hey.
Yeah, and so we do live music on Friday nights, and we do also Sunday soul music on Sundays. So we have a live band to come in on Fridays where nobody leaves Ashra's Kitchen without singing.
Mm.
Nobody. Everybody in there got to grab that mic. So we pass the mic. So you be full of turkey wings and field peas with boiled okra and ice cream and Debbie cakes. And you got to still sing a song.
All that sounds delicious, but I know my diabetical self can't eat half of what you just said. But I still come and they come eat. I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, you can eat some stuff. Everything ain't diabetical. Well, nah. We got some healthy options, and we have some veggies that has no meat in them.
I was about to say, can I get some squash or something like that? Can I get a vegan friendly menu?
Well, we have cabbage that don't have meat. We have field peas that don't have meat in it. Okay. We have candy yams. We got macaroni and cheese. Wait, you eat butter?
I can't have the butter.
Oh, you can't eat none in my restaurant, then.
I'm gonna let you know that I'm coming and like, hey, can you cook me a special
hit? Uh-huh.
We got salad.
I have to bring my own cheese. I can't have cheese. Did y'all see his face?
You know what? I tell people all the time, if you vegan and go to hell, you wasted your time. I just wouldn't be doing it.
Not to go to hell.
I'm just saying, look at what you're missing out on.
Oh my God.
You're missing out on some cheesy macaroni and cheese. Some sweet yams. You know,
they have vegan cheese. They have vegan cheese. It's okay. Made, I think, with oats.
He said not at his restaurant.
Keep on fooling yourself. They told me vegan ain't that healthy either. That's what they told me. I don't know.
So,
nevertheless, okay. Eat your own. Eat your vegan stuff, baby. God bless. We got salad, though.
I'm not vegan, so I'm going to come and my husband going to come and visit your.
I mean, you can make me a cucumber salad. I can get some cucumbers and I can get some tomatoes and some onions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll do that for you. And I want you to sit across right from her and her husband while they slurping on turkey wings.
I still have to cook it for my family. I'm the only one in my family that switched.
Really?
Yeah, so I still have to cook the meat.
Oh, okay.
But I'll be there next time I'm in Atlanta. I'm making sure, you know, especially because Milk and Honey be closing on random places. I'm going to come and check you out. You don't be
Come and check us out. And then on Saturdays, we add breakfast to the buffet. So you have breakfast and lunch.
Brunch.
We put cheese. We put them cheese grits out. Let me tell y'all something. Them cheese grits with them bacon and them sauce. I just did a contract with Conecco Sausage, you know, where they provide our sausages and stuff. And let me tell y'all something. It ain't healthy, but it sure is good.
I'm coming. When next?
Because it's not your typical restaurant. Me in Georgia. It ain't your restaurant where your food is undersea. I'm so confident, I let you taste it first. I tell customers when they come in, before you spend any money, you taste it and see if you like it first. And they taste it and be like, yeah, let me go and get that little bit, cuz. All right, let's do it. You know? Yeah, so I want people to have, you know, you need somewhere where you can go and eat good. I'm so tired of people going to play Fort like they even forgot how to cook. Anybody got time?
Yeah. y'all make sure y'all go to Ashra's Kitchen. Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's you will not leave the way you came.
I'm sure we
not. Won't it will or not?
Ooh.
Oh!
Yes.
So, you ready to bust when we leave out.
Man. And my God, thank so going back, reeling it back in, Mr. Sanders, can I ask you a favor?
Yes.
Awesome. So, which we all know, Prophet Tish went through the hospital, and can you sing a little bit of Millions for Prophet?
Oh, my lashes are already gone. I'm good. Go ahead.
Yeah. I wish I just had my track. Yeah, let me see. If I can just make it up there, if I can walk through that city so bright and fair, oh, there'll probably be a thousand things I wanna tell. Oh, that day. You know, Millions didn't make it. I was one of the ones who did. Oh, Millions didn't make it. You, Jesus, I was one. Oh, Millions. All right, that's all.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. I needed that today.
Thank you.
I made it.
Yeah. Mm. Amen. That made a difference. I see what you're saying about legendary songs, because that song hit different every time. Mm. So with that, everybody, we're going to go ahead, and I wanted to say thank you for coming on today. I really appreciate you telling your testimony and telling some of the things that you went through personally to still be able to do ministry, still to be able to do you serving people with your food and your gifts. We just thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
And we just, one thing on the behalf of Anointed Radio, I just really want to say is you spent time with us, and we appreciate that, because that's the only valuable thing that you can't get back is time. So we thank you for spending time with us. We really appreciate everything that you're doing. And like I always tell everybody, for the last going on 7 years, you family now. So so now that your restaurant, I'm blasting it. And every time I go to Atlanta, as long as y'all open, I'm gonna be over there.
Come see us.
What's your off day? What days y'all not open?
Mondays are the only days we're closed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
that
Mondays are the only days we're closed.
Well, I'm gonna come get my family a plate.
Yeah, please do. I mean, you know, and I mean, like I said, we got some options, but you know, everything got butter though. Everything got some butter in it. I ain't lying. You know. But I'm truly grateful for the opportunity, and you know, my ministry and my faith in God is not contingent upon whether I'm blessed or not. You know, I serve God because I feel like that's my only hope and that's my only choice. So regardless of whether I'm having a bad day or a good day, I have to understand that ultimately God is just, I gotta still give God glory. I gotta still give him honor. That's all. That's my only hope. You know, I mean, it can't be contingent upon whether he decided to bless me today, you know, or change my, do something great for me today. No, you know, if he's gonna send me through a test, I still gotta bless him through the test. So,
amen.
You know,
amen.
That's maybe to push my way through.
Amen.
So I have to ask this last question to you as we head out. What would be your parting encouragement to independent artists?
Be anxious for nothing.
Come on.
Be anxious for, being anxious make you sign stupid contracts.
Mm-hmm.
You be desperate to work for folk that ain't finna do nothing but rip you off and leave you miserable. Mm. So sometimes you just got to hold up, be still, and just know God is God. And if God, let me tell you something. I had no clue who Apostle Verrill Howard was. Not a single clue. I was sitting in my restaurant minding my own business. And two people walked in. Well, three people. It was Marquise, Drina Penn, and Apostle Vero Howard. They walked in my restaurant. I see this lady with their white hair. I don't know who she is. And Drina Penn looks at me and say, hey, this is Apostle Howard. She manages Dietrich Haddon. You should consider working with her. I said, I'm good. Why? Because I had so much false hope from so many people all these years. My last manager that worked for BET, she played me, didn't do nothing for me. So I'm tired of dealing with folks who ain't really trying to put me on, but just want to take from me. And so so Apostle Howard didn't know who I was. She didn't seem to be that interested either. But she said one thing. She said, can you come around and let me pray for you? Now, we in the food court of the mall. And I go around. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess. I don't want to. It's a Saturday. It's a lot of people in here. All of a sudden, she started. I said, oh, Lord, she's speaking in tongue in the mall. It was so embarrassing. But when she was praying, she said one thing that got my attention. She said, touch his kidneys. So when she stopped praying, I said, how you know about my kidneys? She said, well, I don't know nothing about your kidneys. What's wrong with your kidneys? I said, you prayed and said, touch your kidneys. She said, well, that's what God put in my spirit, just to say, touch his kidneys. I said, well, I've been on dialysis. And so long story short, I ended up working with her that night. They was honoring her at the Hip Hop Awards or the Hip Hop something here in Atlanta. And I went. And so from there, she became my manager. And so what that said to me was, sometimes you got to learn how to be still, not go looking for it. God will bring it to you. He brought her to me. I'm minding my business. She minding her business. Don't even know. But God says, and so that's what I've learned. So if I would say anything to anybody, the way you hear from God is sometimes it's like, well, I've been sitting here and I'm not hearing nothing. So maybe if you don't hear nothing, sit down somewhere. God gonna bring it to you. He'll bring to you what you need. And that's how you'll know. That was nobody but God that did that. And so that's my advice. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be desperate. If it don't happen, oh, well, God, what's next? And keep it moving. You know, save you a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of stress, high blood pressure. You'll save all that because, you know, most people are out for their own selves, you know. So just got to seek God first. Everything else will fall in place.
Amen. If you can't take nothing from that, I don't know what's wrong with you. Everybody, Mr. Ashford Sanders, y'all, we appreciate you for being on tonight. And everybody, it does not have to stop. We are on all the podcast platforms. I'm accepting that word, podcast. I felt disrespected. I've been a radio station way before a podcast. So, but we are on all podcast platforms, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Tidal. All that good stuff. If you look for Anointed Radio, just Google it. You'll find us and you'll find this interview. You'll find hundreds of more and you're going to get something from it. So make sure you connect with us on the podcast platform. Make sure that you connect with us at anointedradionetwork.com. And it don't have to stop because you could always stay connected and you're going to learn something, a gem, something's going to be dropped in your spirit for one of our interviews. So make sure that you stay tuned, stay connected. And if you don't know, stay rested, stay blessed, and stay prayed up because you never
know. I got one more thing. I want to come to your church.
Oh, amen.
You know, I want to come to whatever events y'all got going on. So I didn't say this earlier. For booking, please contact Apostle Vero Howard, 910-644-1824. That's 910-644-1824. All right, I'm done.
I was going to say, hey, we are doing a chef competition at the conference this year.
Hey, we have butter in it, though.
I'm not the judge. I have three chef judges that would judge it, but... we are doing a chef competition, and last year we actually brought in one of Apostle. We brought in Jokia last year was the person for the conference. So yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely whether I'm singing or cooking, I'm cool. I'm interested.
If you want to come get part of that chef competition, first place $4,000. So
Okay.
Well, and you only cook for 25 people.
Oh, really?
25 people, $4,000 buffet style.
I'm cool with that. So I guess we can talk more about it.
Yeah, we can talk about
it. Maybe Apostle Howard can just get in contact with whoever needs to, and we can make it work.
Yep.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
We know that process already. Apostle Howard is like an auntie to me. She's the reason why Anointed Radio has been to the places. So I appreciate her. We already got the contacts. But like I said, everybody that's watching us, it don't got to stop, because you could just stay connected with us. Make sure that you stay prayed up, because you never know what's coming. And it is time for y'all to go to bed, because on the East Coast, it's like almost like 10:20. So y'all be good now. You hear? Y'all go to sleep. Bye now. Bye-bye now. Bye. Bye now. Oh.